To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
How about it? Off and rolling. New week, Monday, December 8, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn. On X at G_Kuhn71. Happy to be able to talk about a new head coach at the University of Memphis. That would be Charles Huff from Southern Miss. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning99. Connor, what's happening, brother?
What's up, man? I miss your Santa Claus intro. I almost hit it. It's still on the page. I almost hit it because I miss it.
I miss getting all of the people that the Salvation Army helps,
dude,
ready for the holiday season. It was a great turnout.
I was very happy. Unbelievable turnout.
Don't miss my intro music, though. That's where I was going with
that. Friday.
I missed that part of it. Intro music.
During our show on Friday, the last rush of toys that we got, people were bringing in totes while we were on air of toys.
Yep.
And, we've done a lot of charity events the last few months here at Odyssey, and the toy truck was another massively successful one. Yeah. Absolutely smashed our toy goal and donation goal. Thank you to Regalia, everybody that, thank you to Gossett, Regalia, Salvation Army, everybody that gave toys and donations, man. It was unreal. I was blown away by the turnout, truly.
No doubt. Were you blown away by the hire?
I really like the hire. Well, it's what did we ask for on Friday? We said, if your boosters want Dan Mullen, you call Dan Mullen. If Dan Mullen says no, then if it's Jerry Mack or Huff, we're going to be happy.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's exactly what happened, and we're happy.
And Dan Mullen, clearly we learn after the fact from other reporting, not that we didn't fully know this, he was kind of out of it after the first couple of days. Boosters wanted him. They tried to reach out to him. There was a quick no, and that was over with then. But Jerry Mack, Buster Faulkner, and Charles Huff seemed to be involved up until the late stages in the week. Buster Faulkner, of course, signed on as an OC at Florida. Jerry Mack is going to re-up with Kennesaw State after getting more interest from Tulane.
Good for him.
Ends up right here in the city of Memphis. And we will open on that. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I'll elaborate in just a second. Got to lay out the show for you, though. We have 3 hours talking with courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Well, we'll talk Charles Huff to Memphis and what I believe this hire was about, why it was made, and ultimately what can Charles Huff do going forward with this program. Championship Saturday, not Friday. Friday was fine. You know, saw some interesting games, although blowout in the Mountain West Conference title game. Kennesaw State versus Jacksonville State was a fun one, 19-15. Jerry Mack gets that win year one at Kennesaw State. Impressive stuff. But Saturday, Connor, Saturday was cinema. I enjoyed everything from about 3 o'clock on. Big 12 championship game to start the day was a little ugly. But as soon as we got to the Big Ten title game, everything
that
started
game was
heating
incredible.
Up. Oh God, it was so good.
And
you know, if you're a box score watcher and you look at 13-10,
yeah,
and you try to tell me it was a boring Big Ten game, you're so full of nonsense. You didn't watch that game.
It is so wild that Ohio State's defense held up, only gave up 13 points. Crazy. That's wild to me.
But that also shows
Indiana's for real.
Indiana's for real. And Kurt Cignetti.
Google me.
I don't even know how to like put what he has done in 2 years at Indiana into a box. Like, I can't find anything close in college football's history to compare to what Kurt Cignetti's done for that program.
And Mendoza locked down the Heisman, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll play his clip after the game. That was fun. He's an endearing guy. Like, I like him.
I like
he's
him, too. Some endearing qualities. I like Mendoza.
I like him a whole lot. There were some people debating how corny he is. I don't really care. Like, that's fine. It seems to be who he is all the time. I appreciate genuine.
I do, too.
And he seems to embody that. He is a very genuine human being. So we'll talk about that. As far as guests are concerned, 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join the show. We'll ask him about the Charles Huff hire and what he thought of championship weekend at 6 o'clock. We're going to have to have some tough conversations. Obviously, the 67th AutoZone Liberty Bowl will be played on January 2nd. It's going to pit Navy and Cincinnati against each other. So they ended up getting a decent matchup for their game. But the bowl season, for guys like Harold Grader, for guys that are, you know, directors of these games, it's getting tough. We had 10 teams balk at the idea of playing in the bowl season. And, of course, the most notable of them, Notre Dame, misses out on the college football playoff. So they take their ball and their pads and they go home. So bowl season, I know it's been declining pretty steadily since the college football playoff became a thing. But the more it expands, the worse it gets for these bowl directors in these bowl games. Going to have a real conversation with Harold Grader, because I know they're feeling it just like every other person in his position is feeling it. So we'll get to that at 6 o'clock with Harold Grader. The Blitz at 6:30, trip around the NFL at 5:30. That's the show for you. All right, Charles Huff, new head coach over at the University of Memphis. And I, for one, enjoy the hire very much. I think this is a good time to say don't let perfect get in the way of good. I think most of the fan base wanted Dan Mullen. That was not a possibility by the end of this search. Jerry Mack was another guy that was very involved. But Charles Huff seems to have a whole lot more experience at the FBS level. And that is why, ultimately, University of Memphis, Ed Scott, make the decision that they make. Now, when we look at his resume, it's a pretty damn good one. He has coached at Penn State as a running backs coach. Saquon Barkley basically has said, I became a great player, not just a good player, because of Charles Huff and what he was able to put me through. At Alabama, he goes there with Nick Saban. In 2021, he was the National Recruiter of the Year for the work that he was able to do at Alabama. And he also coached Najee Harris into being a first-round pick. Then, when he takes over at Marshall's in a bit of a precarious situation. They were on a downturn as a program, but he absolutely kept them afloat and helped them thrive. In 4 years, he was able to take Marshall to 32-20. And in 2024, the year before he headed to Southern Miss, he went 10-3 and won a championship, a conference title. And then he goes to Southern Miss, who was 1-11 a year ago, and takes them to 7-5 in year one. So I think what he has proven so far as a FBS head football coach, especially in the group of five, is he can turn around a program. He can absolutely turn around the program, and he can win ball games at a high level. Now, at Memphis, I think he's going to have to prove something a little bit different, right? He's going to have to prove that he can build his culture in year one, have a sustainable, great culture, and then sustain winning over the time that he is at Memphis. And potentially, not even potentially, this is what we want. We want him to win an American Conference title. You potentially want to get in the CFP if things allow it. We'll see how the expanded playoff goes. Now that there's two teams in the group of five that are in, I wonder if the powers that be try to make some changes in the offseason to the playoff format, but we will see. As long as you have access, I think Memphis fans are going to want that from Charles Huff.
Absolutely.
At some point in his tenure. When we look at the reasons he was hired and, you know, ultimately why this hire was made by Ed Scott, obviously a proven winner. He's a guy who understands how to win ball games, who to hire to impart knowledge on his players, And I think the biggest thing that you're looking at with Memphis and the resources they have at the top of the group of five, alongside South Florida and Boise State, schools of that ilk, he can recruit at a very, very high level. And he has shown it on multiple occasions. He's shown it with the big boys. He's got great relationships. He seems to be process-oriented and process-driven, especially in the recruiting space. So I think that's the big thing that Ed Scott ultimately looked at. Yes, the winning was built in. We know that you can win at this level. But what can you do to build on top of what is already a good program? We've seen you turn around two programs at this point, but this program doesn't need turning around. What they need is a leader that can foster them into a new future, a brighter future. Get to a CFP, win a conference title, and potentially make yourself more of a factor in conference realignment discussion.
Attractive.
I think that Charles Huff can do all of those things. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know what it's going to look like immediately off the top. I do know that his offense, he tries to be very explosive, very good on that side of the ball. Tim Kramsey was actually his OC at Marshall before he came over to the University of Memphis. And Tim, obviously very up and down, he's now going to be at Arkansas. But I think for the most part, Tim did a good job with this offense. So Charles tries to run things very similarly on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, we're going to have to see. He made his first couple hires today. I like Dominique Bowman, the defensive backs coach. His DBs at Southern Miss led the country in interceptions with 21. But defensive coordinator hire, we'll see how it ultimately plays out because they were 97th in total defense this year. But I don't know if they had the
right. Could that be a player issue?
They were a 1-11 team with a bad defense. He tried to turn it around. I don't know if I blame that on coach, defensive coordinator, in this case, or personnel. But that's going to be something that you have to wait and see. But I think he can recruit at a high level. I think he can use these resources in a solid way, although I do still think it's a learning curve. When you have this amount of money and you need to allocate more funds than you ever have, you're bound to make some mistakes in the first couple of years. But we'll see if he can limit those in the first couple of years. I'm very excited to see what Charles Huff looks like with the amount of resources available to him, the FedEx money, everything else available to him here at the University of Memphis.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make, is this is a guy who has had a lot of success with not a ton of resources. So the hope here is, with additional resources, more than he's ever had, and it's not even close, it's a Grand Canyon in between the resources that you have at Southern Miss and University of Memphis, hopefully he can take them where they want to go. The first step, just make it to a conference championship game. That is the first step. College football playoff and all of that is absolutely where you want to end up. I mean, you look at Tulane this year, and you look at, you know, James Madison this year, and you say, why can't that be Memphis? It can absolutely be Memphis. But that's not going to be the bar of success, I think, for Charles Huff in the first year, and maybe not even the second year. Just if you can consistently get to the American Championship game, all of that will kind of take care of itself. Just focus on that, build a good program, good talent here, and we think that he's going to be able to do that because of what he's done in the past. National Recruiter of the Year is a huge deal. Getting comments from Nick Saban, Saquon Barkley, all of these guys about how good of a coach Charles Huff is makes me excited as a Memphis alum and a Memphis fan.
And it is kind of funny looking back at last week and how it ultimately played out. I think obviously as coaching searches go along, based on fan base reaction and otherwise, your talking points may change from Monday to Friday. But Monday, if you'll remember,
you said Charles Huff is the guy.
I said that's the guy that I wanted. Now, my opinions changed as the week went along. Jerry Mack became a lot more attractive candidate. Dan Mullen was an interesting thought. But ultimately, I should have gone with my first instinct the entire week. It was Charles Huff. Charles Huff till the end, ultimately is the one who gets
the through. Rumors are hard not to latch on to sometimes. But it's, I will say, I think that Ed Scott did a really good job on this coaching search. Because the rumor everybody heard, which I still think is true, is that the boosters wanted Dan Mullen.
I don't want to say boosters in a general thing, but some bigger name boosters wanted him at the beginning of this process.
So the boosters wanted Dan Mullen, and it seems like Ed Scott made a call and said, hey, Memphis, and he went, no! Hang up.
Over.
And then he moved on to two real candidates in Jerry Mack and Charles Huff, and Charles Huff won the job. So that is all we wanted from Ed Scott. If your boosters want somebody like a name like Dan Mullen, do your due diligence there. He did that. Then they moved on to more realistic options in Charles Huff. He ultimately got the job for all of the reasons you just laid out. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he can do. He has had a lot of success and in situations not nearly as good as Memphis. So what can he do now with real resources? Can he make Memphis attractive to the power conferences? Can he make Memphis, you know, a mainstay in the championship game of the American?
Can he get back to a championship-level program?
Right.
Because they have not been that for the last 6 years.
Can he retain players? Because it seems like if one of his main attributes is recruiting, hopefully he can retain some guys, most notably someone like, I don't know, A.J. Hill. That would be great if you could keep something like him on campus. So I'm going to be really interested to see what he is able to do at the University of Memphis. He already seems like a good communicator. I like the message that he put out today saying,
former players,
we need you at Memphis. We want you to arrive. Yeah, former players love hearing that. So, and, you know, getting a statement like you did from Nick Saban doesn't mean nothing.
Yep.
It doesn't mean nothing.
Yep. And being a National Recruiter of the Year on a Nick Saban staff, that means a lot. I'm not even going to say that doesn't,
And the Saquon Barkley thing, I think, is important because it shows he can coach up these guys.
Yep.
And if you're a running back now and you're not getting the power offer that you want and you get an offer from Memphis and you say, this is the guy who coached Saquon Barkley and helped him become who he is, makes Memphis a little bit attractive.
Do with this what you will, but stylistically, as a coach, I would think of him, and I'm not saying like he is the same coach because I don't think that's the case, but like stylistically, from the top down, his structure of a program is going to be similar to Ryan in the fact that he's a CEO head coach. He is a CEO head coach. And I think a lot of these guys have to be that at this point. But he's never been some offensive play caller, certainly not a defensive play caller because that's not the side of the ball he works with. But he's going to hire people, put them in positions of power to earn their keep, his offensive and defensive coordinators. It's going to be the same sort of structure from that perspective from Ryan.
I already like the news about his DB coach because if there's anything with Memphis the last few years, or for a decade, those damn DBs, man.
The top. They did well with taking the ball away, but they were boomer bust.
Dude, that UAB game was
driving
me insane.
They were the Cowboys secondary under Al Harris.
Dude, the UAB game. Just go watch that game and tell me if better DBs and coaching wouldn't have helped in that one.
What is funny, though, about this hire is, listen, it's not lost on me. This is not the type of hire that immediately gets people to, you know, check in and go buy 30,000 season tickets.
No.
That's not what this is. Dan Mullen could have potentially been that if he wanted to come to the University of Memphis, but that was not going to happen. Charles Huff's not that type of guy. He's certainly not going to fire up the fan base. He's more of that coach hire where you hear it, then you start to get used to it. You look at his resume, and I think fans come around to it and figure out, okay, this is a good football coach that they just hired.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny about all this and, like, the reaction and maybe not being over the moon to hire Charles Huff, he is objectively, and Jeff Calkins wrote about this. We'll talk to him
very
tomorrow.
Good piece.
Very good piece. His column today for the Daily Memphian. He is objectively the most accomplished coach that they have hired maybe ever, but certainly in this run of the last four coaches. The last four coaches had never been a head coach before, had never shown what they can do for a program. This guy turned Marshall into a conference champion, and he turned a Southern Miss team from 1-11 to 7-5. He's got a track record. He's shown that he can recruit. He's been around the block. He's still relatively young. Like, he's in his 40s, which is wild to me. So, you know, when we just look objectively at this hire compared to hires of the past, it may be, on paper, one of the best they've ever made.
Well, and, you know, it's the Dan Mullen thing. If you got a name, we're just using him as
a
placeholder.
Yes.
A named hire, I suppose.
Yes. An exciting
You would have gotten
hire.
Butts in the seats. But we also said part of that deal is it would be a short-term thing. They would be here for a little bit. You'd hope to get a boom while they were here. And then they would eventually move on and use Memphis as a stepping stone because that's the reality of being a G5 school. You want your coaches to eventually go on to bigger and better things. I think with Charles Huff, you may not get the boom immediately, but I do think that you have a little bit more long-term viability with a coach like Charles Huff. You can get a couple of years out of him of high success if he is able to do that before he makes that jump. And who knows? Maybe during his time here, Memphis gets the call to go up to the power. That's ultimately the hope and why we have been saying this hire is the most important hire in Memphis history. It is because of all of those factors. You are not only trying to get back to the conference championship game, you are not only trying to keep it rolling like it has been the last few years for the last decade plus, you are trying to get into a power conference. That is the main goal of the University of Memphis, and it's not even close in my opinion. College football playoff, yes. Conference championship, yes. But you are trying to get this school into a power conference because that is where college football is headed.
And I will say this, compared to their peers in the American Athletic Conference, minus South Florida, I think they did a pretty damn good job.
Pretty they certainly did better than Tulane.
Good job. Because you look at North Texas, they do a retread thing with Neil Brown after he failed at West Virginia and took a year off. I think he was an offensive analyst somewhere. But he's back. And Tulane, we'll talk about it in the Blitz. But, Connor, that I'm amazed. It's disastrous. They hire Will Hall. Will Hall, their passing game coordinator who just got done at Southern Miss, completely screwing up a program that Charles Huffman had to come in and save.
It's the Thanos meme. You what did it take? Everything. What did you sacrifice? Everything. You had the season. Sumrall's leaving. You made the college football playoff. Won the conference championship.
We may do this exercise,
but what did it cost? Everything.
We may do this exercise later, but when you sort of rank those four hirings, like I think Charles Huff could be one or two for you, depending on how you feel about Brian Hartline.
I think
Hartline would be one for
the easy number one.
The recruiting and what we know about him and his name, but at the same time, we've never seen him as a head coach. So, like, that's always a question you have.
Sure, sure.
So, if you're one that likes proven experience, then you may have Charles Huff at one, but I don't think you can have him lower than two of these four hires that have been made.
The top two. For sure.
Yes. So Memphis made it out of this thing.
They did well.
Pretty good.
They did really well.
When you look at Tulane, you see how bad it could go for you.
Yeah. It's another example, in my opinion, of Ed Scott being the right guy for the job.
Yeah. I think he did a really good job.
I trust Ed Scott fully, and it feels nice to have that.
Yep. No doubt about it. Now let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day. When we come back, did you enjoy championship weekend, or at least Saturday?
I did. Saturday.
Friday, not so much. Saturday.
Well, I did enjoy Friday because of the 10% of hope that we had about Mullen watching them
sure.
get blasted by Boise.
There were some UNLV fans like, it seems like he's a little distracted.
They were like, oh no, it might be right. And then, of course, wake up Saturday morning to the news, which I was happy with, Charles Huff. And then,
early, by the way. This was a 7 a.m.
I woke up and I had like 15 text messages that were like, Huff! And I was like, what's happening? And I was like, did the Grizzlies trade for Jay Huff? What's going on here? And so, championship Saturday, very fun. Because it's, again, I think we'll talk about it in a moment, but like, man, Georgia, they are peaking at the right moment.
Yes, for sure. And I think championship Saturday was absolute cinema. I mean, it was beautiful. But then, as we got to the waning moments of Sunday, or in Saturday as well, we knew it was time for the college football playoff committee. So I got some highs and lows this weekend. Back in and rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Not only is Charles Huff the new head coach over at the University of Memphis for the football program, we did have a bowl announcement this weekend for the Tigers. They will be playing another Power 4 team. How about that? They're playing NC State, sits there at 7-5 in the ACC, in the Gasparilla Bowl. How do we feel about it, Connor?
Sure.
Yeah, I feel like that is the least of the news that Tiger fans are worried about coming out of the weekend.
Yeah,
I think Tiger basketball and the coaching hire are way, way past that.
Absolutely.
And this one, hey, but a shot for this group one more time against the Power 4 opponent. That's sort of my minimum expectation. When you fall short of conference titles, when you fall short of a CFP.
Win your bowl game.
Get into a bowl game against a Power 4 opponent and win it.
It would be great to make that record even better than it already is against Power 4.
Yep, no doubt about it. Now, championship weekend. Friday, it was okay. Kennesaw State over Jacksonville State, that was really cool. Jerry Mack, it's unbelievable what he's been able to do for Kennesaw State in the year. 2-10 to 10-3, and champions of the CUSA. I mean, I just impressive as hell what he's done, and he's going to get re-upped, get more money from Kennesaw State for that. So that was kind of the story of Friday night for the most part, on top of UNLV getting splattered by Boise State for the second straight time this year. And then they lost last year as well in the championship game. So it's the second straight year UNLV has fallen to Boise State in the Mountain West Conference title game. But that's a different discussion for a different day. I thought Saturday was one of my favorite college football days of the season. You started with the Big 12 championship. Now, I understand final score is 34-7. BYU never had a shot. I took them minus 12.5 before the weekend hit. But I think this game showed me something that I kind of already knew, but it confirmed it. Texas Tech is very, very, very good, especially defensively. Offensively, they can do enough with Baron Morton. I know they've had all the quarterback issues. Run game's been slow at times. They can do enough offensively because defensively they fluster anybody they've played against. And the interception from Ben Roberts, their linebacker, number 18, he had two in the game. But that interception, the one-handed going across the middle on an intermediate route thrown by Bear Bachmeier, was absolutely insane. But it was special to watch the blender that Texas Tech's defense put Bear Bachmeier into. And Bear Bachmeier, I want to give a lot of credit where credit's due. This is an 11-2 BYU team with a freshman quarterback. I mean, this guy has been great all season long for that team. But his two times playing against Texas Tech, he looked outmatched, out-physicaled, uncomfortable, never was able to get his footing.
No, they got blasted.
He looked like, quite frankly, you know, he forgot how to play football for parts of that game.
He looked like an actual bear trying to play quarterback.
Yeah, you know. He had no chance against that Texas Tech defense. I was about to make a bear in the woods joke, but I'm going to stay away from that one.
Is Texas Tech one of the best examples of an NIL era success? Because because it changed the fortune of what they can do in college football.
Yep. Joey McGuire did a lot of it too, being able to find the guys to fundraise it behind the scenes. And Cody Campbell, their, you know, big booster, big college football.
Well, because they were such, they were the huge story of,
they've such a good job.
Completely turned around their roster with new guys.
Yes.
And it leads to one of the, they're probably their best season.
They spent probably upwards of $30 million on this roster too.
Yeah, right.
Like, to be able to have that money at your disposal, you know that there's sustainability to that. Now, will they get $30 million to spend on their roster every year? I don't know. But if they get these results and this is the return on investment that Joey McGuire is giving to his big money boosters that are giving him the money and funding this roster, I could imagine him getting it again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be number four and get a first round bye, win the Big 12 outright, I think that the boosters will show back up, because we always
happy.
When we started this NIL discussion, it was all about return on investment. What are these guys that are giving up this money to go get these big players going to see happen? What's going to come to fruition because of the money they're giving? Texas Tech has delivered. Joey McGuire has delivered on everything he promised when they gave him that amount of money. So, yes, I think when we talk about success stories in the NIL era and you know, teams that had their fortune changed completely in this new era, Texas Tech is one of them. But then the next one, that I think it has helped pretty drastically, along with a coaching switch. The Indiana Hoosiers, brother. I mean, that was the game of the weekend, right? Like, is there any debate?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Number one versus number two. Indiana wins 13-10. And don't let the score fool you at all. It was absolute cinema. Seemingly, we knew going into the game it was probably for the Heisman Trophy. Julian Sain and Fernando Mendoza were 1-2. Teams were 1-2. They were battling it out. And then the Big Ten gave us the extended and theatrical version of what this game was supposed to be. Mendoza gets his bell rung on the first play from scrimmage. Just absolutely eliminated. I mean, a neck falls back, whiplash, falls on the ground, doesn't move for a second.
I thought he was dead.
Scrambles himself up. His brother is his backup, so he comes into the game for a couple plays. Then Fernando Mendoza comes out, and you could tell, like, Indiana got a punch from that. They got a boost from that once he came back into the game and showed his toughness. But then what we saw is kind of a Big Ten knock them down, drag them out fight. Both teams are settling for field goals. Each team commits a turnover in the first half. It's slow. Ultimately, Ohio State in the second half gets to the Indiana 5 and the Indiana 17 and scored no points. That's what lost them the game. But both defenses were very good, and this is what you just become used to at a Big Ten slobber knocker, I guess, is the run fits for both sides. What they do to fit the run. No one is out of place. They don't allow explosive plays. And it was absolutely beautiful. I thought Indiana won in the old-fashioned Big Ten way. And if you know about the Iowa football program and Kirk Ferentz, you'll know this saying, but it's punt to win. This is how this works in the Big Ten when you get into those matchups. Punt to win is basically a schematic sort of thought process behind sustain drives, win the time of possession battle, and completely win the field position battle. That's what you're supposed to do. But on top of that, I thought that the defensive effort from Indiana in this game was one that jumped off the page. Six sacks on Julian Sayin, which set Ohio State behind the chains on multiple occasions. And, you know, those were big plays because Ohio State could move the ball. They could throw the ball pretty successfully. Jeremiah Smith went off in this game, but when you're behind the chains so much, you're not able to open up your playbook the same way. Also, I have to give credit to their rush defense. They only gave up 87 rush yards pre-sack. This is pre-sack yardage. So without the six sacks, they only gave up 87 rush yards to running backs. And if you know anything about Bo Jackson and this Ohio State team, he's run for 100 on multiple occasions. And that run offense has been very, very good down the stretch of this season. I thought the play of the game was Mendoza to Surratt in the end zone. Like, that was elite stuff from both of those guys. And I don't mean to get too far in the weeds on this, but they schemed up a one-on-one out of trips with a back shoulder fade out of the slot. Like, you have a safety over top, you're getting man coverage, and you're in the red zone in tight spaces. That is the type of play you can only make if you have an unbelievable relationship with your wide receiver, if you're Fernando Mendoza. You have to know where he's going to be. You have to know how to place the ball, and you have to be very, very accurate with it, or it could get picked off or tipped up in the air, all those different things. But I thought the placement was great. The one-arm catch by Surratt seemed impossible because it was great coverage from the Ohio State DB. But then after that, I guess the other play you could call, you know, play of the game is the 27-yarder that was missed by Ohio State at the end. I mean, that just feels right. It felt like it needed to happen. He pulled it on the right hash, 27 yards away. You're on the Indiana 5, and you pull it from 27 yards to lose a ball game. It's a brutal way to lose if you're Ohio State, but I will be honest, it felt right at the end of that game for it to end that way. And then Fernando Mendoza, this is, to me, a post-game interview for the ages. Take it away, Fernando.
I want to give all the glory to God. We were never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, everyone we have around us, we were able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs.
The Hoosiers are flipping champs, Connor.
You guys called yourself a bunch of misfits who found the right home at Indiana. Why was this the right place for this group?
It's the right place for process-oriented. We're going day by day, whether it's the offensive line, the defense, the coaches, special teams, we're all process-oriented to one goal. That's our thing, is we're brothers. We can drag teams into the deep end because we know that we're going to stick together and we're the strongest glue ever.
I mean, put it in the Hall of Fame. That's incredible.
I mean, he did something like this where the emotions just start pouring out.
I love it.
He was at Cal at the end of last year. But that was, you just see the emotion that hit him all at once as he's doing that post-game, you know, availability, you know, the post-game field interview. And I know there's a lot of people that are going to say it's cringy, it's corny, they're going to go that route with it. But listen, in the end of the day, I just like people to be genuine to who they are.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I don't think there's any debate in anyone's mind whether you think he's corny or not, and he really clearly is. He's a very genuine guy. That's who he is 100% of the time. Fernando Mendoza.
I don't think I found it corny at all. I was like, this is real emotion coming out from a guy who's worked his ass off and is clearly committed.
Connor, he said the Hoosiers are flipping champs. That's not corny at all.
No.
They're flipping champs.
What, he can't say the F word on TV, Gabe?
I know.
You want to drop an F-bomb?
Listen, it comes across a little corny, but I don't care.
I don't care. If I'm an NFL team,
This is
great to see.
Absolutely. I would love to see that. But he does use like all the coach speak stuff.
I don't know.
You know,
it's,
we have
but
the
it's
strongest
real.
Glue,
I
and think, we really, and we really, you know, but we win one
it,
for the Gipper.
For me, it falls into that category of being 100% genuine from a dude like this.
Yes.
It's not put on.
No,
he's
it's
not saying it because he knows it's the right
exactly
thing to say.
Exactly why I love
it's
it.
It's just a burst of emotion from someone who's worked his ass off and won the biggest game of his career.
Which is exactly why I love it.
I can't wait for his
but
Heisman
it is,
speech.
It is
I can't
so
wait
great.
For the Heisman speech.
Yeah, and when he gets those emotions going, he did this at Cal last year, he starts to scream as loud as he possibly can, and he just sort of loses his cool in that moment. But
good for him.
I will say this: like every interview you hear from him, whether you think it's corny or not, I'll add that again. He always says the right things. I mean,
corny be damned. He's a champion.
This is going to be a first round quarterback. He could likely be a top, might be the first overall.
Yeah,
could be a top
Jets,
five. Pick.
I hope you like speaking Mendoza.
Yeah, could be a top five pick, and he has every right to be. He has shown it time and time again so far this year. But this Indiana story, it's unbelievable. I mean, I can't fathom Indiana football in a two-year period being in this situation and being as good as they are. They've lost two games in 2 years.
I love that.
And they've gone to the college football playoff back-to-back in 2 years under Kurt Cignetti. Like, we've seen program turnarounds. We've seen things like this before, but they've been on a much smaller scale. Like year one, you go from 2-10 to 7-6, then you start moving in the right direction and getting the college football playoffs, and you've sustained it. You have a good culture. But Kurt Cignetti came in and from day one turned this thing into a championship program and a national championship caliber program. And Indiana is one of the worst historical football programs in the history of the FBS. 10 years before he came in, the decade before, Kurt Cignetti came in. They were averaging 4 wins a year. And here he is at undefeated, 13-0, winning a Big Ten title for the first time since World War II.
That's crazy. World War II is nuts. That's wild.
I'm trying to put in words how ridiculous it is what Kurt Cignetti's doing. Bear Bryant couldn't do this. Nick Saban couldn't do this quickly. It usually took time historically. But Kurt Cignetti came in and from day one turned a yearly 4-win football team into 11 wins, 12 wins, Big Ten champions, potential national champions, one of the 3 shortest odds, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, to win a national title. You try to put in words and give people stats to explain how crazy this is, but I don't even think any of these things do it justice. This right. is insane what Kurt Cignetti has done.
Well, the difference is between Bear Bryant and Nick Saban and Kurt Cignetti is he has the NIL era, and he's using it sure. correctly. And Indiana, very much like Texas Tech, is proof positive. If you invest in your program with a roster and your coach, you can have high success. It's just wild that it's Indiana, though, because when you think of Indiana, you think of basketball. Think of the Hoosiers. You think of historic in college basketball. And now they're at near the top of the mountain in college football. It's just not what you expected. But I love that last year, everybody called them fake. They acted like they weren't supposed to be
there. Yeah,
it was
about the schedule.
And then the next year, they're like, all right, we're going to punch everybody in the mouth again. And then we're going to punch Ohio State in the mouth and see what you have to say about us. We're the strongest glue!
Yep. I mean, it's great.
I love it.
It's great.
It's awesome. And I think it's probably the best story in college football this year.
I think Fernando Mendoza is one of the best sort of faces of a college football.
He's the type of quarterback you want for your program.
Yes.
Any team in the country wants a guy like that.
Yep. No doubt about it. But this team's going to be the 1 seed heading into the college football playoff.
That's wild. Just
number 1
wild.
Team in the country, the Indiana Hoosiers.
Did you see the videos of Indiana fans just losing their minds? It was so cool to see.
If I was an Indiana fan my whole life, I would have flipped like 4 cars. Like there's no, I mean, I'm sorry. I would get my buddies together, we're flipping cars, we're climbing, you know, light posts, we're doing it all.
Yeah.
Because I never thought in any like even in a dream, this would have never come to me. That Indiana football could be the best team in the country heading into a playoff scenario in the year 2025, going into 2026, of course. If I'm a lifetime Indiana fan at this point, say I'm 40 years old, I would have never thought anything like this would ever be in my reality that I live in. So, yeah, they deserve to go nuts.
I'm not sure if they
commit crimes, but I probably would have been there with you if I was an Indiana fan.
Not sure if they can pull it off, man, but I am rooting for them. I don't know if they can truly finish off this season, but I'd pick Georgia right now.
We'll talk about that.
And I think, you know, beating Ohio State if they have to play them is tough to do twice. But
in the end of the day,
if you ask me who I am rooting for, it's Indiana.
This is truly one of those situations where
family's from Indiana too.
We have doubted them every step of the way, and they've gotten to this point. So, like, who am I to even say that they can't or won't do it?
Well, we got Dunning roots in Evansville, Indiana. So
shout out.
This is cool.
You have any aces, Evansville aces in the family?
I don't know. I don't think so. They own part of the Packers though.
Okay, all right. Can I hold a dollar?
Royal. No, I think it was $100. So
nice. But yeah, to your point about Georgia, the SEC title game. All I really have to say about that game, 28-7, Georgia wins. Georgia at +550 on FanDuel Sportsbook seems like tremendous value to win the national championship. I think that offense and Gunnar Stockton, they're finally tuned. They can play the time of possession game. They can run the ball pretty successfully. The offensive line's come along. Mike Bobo's dialing up a little bit more for his passing game. They're using a little bit more of the intermediate of the field. Gunner can make all the throws. Gunner Stockton can make all the throws, including the deep balls down the sideline. So,
well, and
that
again,
offense
just
is good. But
great game and a huge moment again.
But here's the kicker. Why Georgia, to me, that's who I think's going to win the title. And it's not just because they're in the SEC and they've played the murderer's row, which is what a lot of SEC folks would claim. But what I'm seeing from that defense, Connor, that's the two national championships back-to-back level defense from Kirby Smart's group, Glenn Schumann's group.
Real quick.
They held Alabama to negative three rushing yards in the SEC title game. Negative three rushing yards for Alabama.
Well, it's,
I understand Nick Saban's not there anymore. Sean Alexander ain't walking through that door. I get that part of it. But Alabama is a program that, when they're good, has just been built on, okay, we can run the ball at least a little bit. We can establish the run. Negative three rushing yards. Negative. The leading rusher for Alabama had four carries for 11 yards in the SEC title game against Georgia. And they were all night, if you watch that game, thumping Alabama as hard as humanly possible.
Blasted them.
Killing them. Just hitting them as hard. I mean, they're playing with an edge. They're playing really well. Their gap sound, their assignment sound. There's no big busts on the back end. That Georgia defense is vintage right this second. Now, can they have a letdown? Sure. I saw it earlier in the season against Tennessee. I've seen them play bad games just as much as I've seen them play very good games like they did in the SEC title game. But down the stretch of this season, the phenomenal vintage Georgia defense is showing up way more than what I saw against Tennessee earlier.
They
in the
just
year.
Play pissed off. And Kirby yep. Smart has them like, you can tell that they're brutal. They want to go into these games and embarrass the team on the other side. And then Gunnar Stockton in these big games, Georgia Tech, he was shows a little up. Shaky, shows up. 20 of 26 against Alabama is for real. And so that's why if you had me picking a team heading into the college football playoff, I think Georgia might be my pick because they just seem to be peaking and firing on all cylinders, and they have a quarterback that I can trust in a big moment. Also, Gabe, I can confirm, Evansville is where my grandmother and grandfather met. Ruth and
nice.
Al Dunning.
Shout out.
Right, met at Evansville. My
That's
dad was
awesome.
Born a mile away. So go Hoosiers.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, we ended Saturday with the ACC title game, and that was electricity in its best form. I mean, that was great. Felt it all through my body. Duke does the Lord's work and gets two G5 teams in.
I'm so happy about it. I'm so thrilled.
And it went to OT, by the way, because Virginia comes down. Chandler Morris throws a touchdown pass with less than a minute to go. Duke has, I think it was 22 seconds ago, Duke has no chance, but then they win in overtime after they pick off Chandler Morris while he's rolling out to his, I don't even know why he threw the ball. It was on a first down. It was so dumb. So a really stupid play by Chandler Morris. But Duke won. And I was cheering it on because I want chaos. I love chaos. But here's the truth I do have about two G5 teams getting in. I just want to run this by you. I'm going to need both of these teams, or at least one of them, to compete at a pretty high level in one of the games they're playing. Now, one is playing, James Madison's playing Oregon in the 5-12 matchup. And then Tulane has a matchup against Ole Miss at Ole Miss, 11-6 matchup. They lost 45-10 when they traveled to Ole Miss earlier this year in a regular season game. But I need one of these teams to compete because the conversation about G5s getting one G5 team getting an automatic bid in the 12 team or the 16 team, whatever it's going to look like, I think the complaining's gotten worse this year from a lot of, you know, Power 4 fans, Power 4 media, national media. And I would wonder if they get their brains beat in by Oregon and by Ole Miss, if the committee and the college football playoff powers that be would get together this offseason and say, hey, we need to rethink our format and go full at large. I don't know if that's what it would look like, but I do think while I love it now, I may not love it long term for G5 inclusion into the college football playoff, because I need one or both of these teams to compete at a decent level.
I think as long as one of them do, it may not be too terrible. But I couldn't help but just laugh to myself, because you know when they made that rule of the five highest ranking conference champions, never in a million years did that committee think that two G5 teams would be two of the top five.
I love it.
It's
I love it.
So awesome. It makes me so happy that it happened. And it is just the committee having to eat their own words,
yes,
eat their own rules. Honestly, suck it. I love it. It's the best
thing
that could have happened.
Though, I wanted the ACC to get left out. That didn't happen.
No.
College Football Playoff Committee did it.
No, it didn't. And it, and I'm sure you'll talk to Cobb about it.
Yeah,
but it makes me very, very happy that the rule that they set, never in a million years
yes.
did these dorks think that two G5 schools would be.
And it happened in year two.
Oh, it's awesome.
It happened in year two.
It happened in year two. And, that, and you know, it's expanding anyway. So it's I think that the anger about it and the outcry about it, it's not going to be as bad. I will say the G5 slander has been annoying to see.
It's ridiculous.
Because people are like, they don't even deserve one spot. And it's like, win your games. Shut up and win your football games. Stop complaining about the G5 when you're losing to teams worse than you. I will hear your complaints if you were undefeated or only have one win or one loss and you're left out. I don't want to hear it from team.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I've lost 4 games.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And also worth mentioning on those people that continually push that stuff about how G5 teams shouldn't be in because they get their butts kicked. Not a single G5 team played in the first round of last year's college football playoff, and the average final margin of those games was 19.25 points.
Yeah.
Even the SMUs get their brains beat in. Oregon, the number one team heading into the college football playoff last year, got killed. Blowouts happened.
Okay, when there were 4 teams... there was a blowout every year. Every year, there's blowouts. In the national championship games, how many blowouts have we seen? It happens.
And by the way, if
with or without G5.
You remember Indiana trailed Notre Dame 27-3 with a minute 30 to play?
And then they made it a game.
Yeah, well, no, it was a minute 30 to play. They didn't really. They weren't going to win it, but it was 27-17 in the end of the game.
Yeah.
If it would have stayed at 27-3, the final margin for those first round games last year would have been 23 points.
And no G5.
And no G5 team played.
Mm, it's so almost like it's not the problem.
Like exactly. Like the it's such a false it's wrong what they're saying. Yes, G5 teams sometimes get their brains beat in. I remember in the New Year's 6 Oregon versus Liberty a couple years ago with Caden Salter quarterback, it was embarrassing. Right? Like I get that part of it. But these other Power 4 programs
Gabe,
that can't match up with the teams that are high up in the SEC and the Big Ten, they get their brains beat.
I watched every moment of the Ohio State-Tennessee game last year. Every moment. And that's one of the worst ass-kickings I've ever seen in college football.
Yes. Never had a chance.
Never had a chance. The moment that game began, Ohio State won.
Yes.
And then they did it a couple more times.
All right. Now, the college football playoff bracket is as follows. Number one team, Indiana Hoosiers, having won the Big Ten. Number two team, Ohio State. Ohio State did not fall below number two for losing to Indiana, which is kind of an interesting thing. As an at-large, they get the two seed. Georgia, who won the SEC at number three. Texas Tech at number four, who won the Big 12. Then A&M at seven, or Ole Miss at six. And, oh my God, Oregon at five, Ole Miss at six, A&M at seven, Oklahoma at eight, Alabama at number nine. More on that in a second. Miami at 10, Tulane at 11, and James Madison at 12. James Madison in the 5-12 matchup gets Oregon 8-9, Alabama versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma is 2-0 against Kalen DeBoer since he's been at Alabama. Could he make it 3-0 in that game? It'll be a home game for them as well, so that'll add to it. And Alabama not playing all that good of football. The 6-11 matchup, Ole Miss versus Tulane, and then 7-10 A&M versus Miami. And, of course, that name, Miami, is going to cause a lot of people to either relax and say this was the right decision or deep sigh to say, okay, you had Notre Dame over them for the first 4 weeks of this poll and then you dropped them on the eve of the college football playoff. But Miami gets in and the first two teams out.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.